ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। फ्रॉम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 5 एंटाइटल्ड लॉर्ड ऋषभदेव्स टीचिंग्स टेक्स्ट 30। इट्स अ बिग प्रोज, वेरी बिग प्रोज, so we'll just read the translations and then purport. Translation: Rishabhdev began to tour through cities, villages, mines, countrysides, valleys, gardens, military camps, cow pens, the homes of cowherd men, transient hotels, hills, forest and hermitages. Wherever he travelled, all bad elements surrounded him. Just as flies surround the body of an elephant coming from a forest. He was always being threatened, beaten, urinated upon and spat upon. Sometimes people threw stones, stool and dust at him. And sometimes people passed foul air before him. Thus people called him many bad names and gave him a great deal of trouble. But he did not care about this, for he understood that the body is simply meant for such an end. He was situated on the spiritual platform, and being in his spiritual glory, he did not care for all these material insults. In other words, he completely understood that matter and spirit are separate, and he had no bodily conception. Thus, without being angry at anyone, he walked through the whole world alone. Purport: Narottam Das Thakur says, Deha smrutir nahi yaar, samsara bandhan kaha tar. When a person fully realizes that the material body and the world are temporary, he is not covered with pain and pleasure of the body. As Sri Krishna advises in Bhagavad Gita 2.14, Matra sparshastu kaunteya sitoshna sukha dukkhada agama apayino nityans Tamsti Tidikshva Bharata. O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course of time are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perceptions, O Skyan of Bharata, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. As far as Rishabhdev is concerned, it has already been explained, Idam Shadiram Durvibhavyam. He did not at all possess a material body, and therefore he was tolerant of all the troubles offered to him by the bad elements in society. Consequently, he could tolerate people throwing stool and dust upon him and beating him. His body was transcendental and consequently did not at all suffer pain. He was always situated in the spiritual bliss, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 18.61. Ishvara sarvabhutanam ruddeshe arjuna tishthati brahmayan sarvabhutani yantra rudhani mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of material energy. Since the Lord is situated in everyone's heart, he is in the heart of hogs and dogs also. If hogs and dogs in their material bodies live in filthy place, one should not think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his Paramatma feature also lives in a filthy place. Although Lord Rishabhdev was maltreated by the bad elements of the world, he was not at all affected. Therefore, it is stated here, Sva Mahima Avasthena, Avasthanena. He was situated in his own glory. He was never saddened due to being insulted in the many ways described above. Om Adnyanti Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya. So, we are reading this great narrations of a great history in the Vedic culture, which took place many, many lakhs of years back. The father of Bharat Maharaj, whose story will also be coming in the future, Lord Rishabhdev. And here, as we heard two verses back, that in the beginning of this chapter, Lord Rishabhdev gave very nice, powerful, important teachings to his 100 sons, especially Bharat Maharaj, that how this material world is actually temporary, and Nayam Deha Deha Bhajan Loke, and then all these important verses were there. And after instructing, he is following them like Acharya. He is not just telling others that you do this, you do that. Like sometimes when Navin Niratpur was here, he was telling, book discussion is very important, but it's also important to read the books. Like we always tell, please take these books, these are very nice books. But what is in the book? No, it's good for you to read. I am only distributing. You have to also follow up or words with the action. Sometimes that gives us the purity to distribute the books. So here, Lord Rishabhdev, he gave the instructions to Bharat Maharaj and other his brothers. But then he is himself following. Although he was the king, but he gave up. And although, just imagine, in fact, we can't imagine that today's great political leaders who are prime minister, chief minister, president, just renouncing and taking to such a state of spiritual existence, moving in the streets without any clothes or like that, and just always absorbed in Krishna. We can't imagine like that. But Lord Rishabhdev gave up, and then he was moving around in all the part of the world, and today as his activities are beginning, in fact the next chapter tells the activities of Lord Rishabhdev, and we see very similarity in the beginning descriptions of Lord Rishabhdev's activity and in the beginning instructions of Bhagavad Gita by Lord Shri Krishna. Almost it is the same. Lord Shri Krishna spoke the first time in second chapter. He is telling Arjuna, Kutastvam Kashmalam Idam Vishame Samupasthitam Anarya Jushtama Aswargyam Anarya Jushtama Aswargyam Akirtikara Arjuna. Hello Arjuna. Arjuna was lamenting for his would-be death of relatives and would-be Varanasankar and would-be loss of his own kingdom or his own death. So hearing all these material dualities which Arjuna was presenting, Arjuna was presenting, although based on the Dharma Shastra, who was presenting the arguments from the point of view of material dualities, happiness, pleasure, gain, loss. So hearing all this, Lord Shri Krishna was astonished. He is saying, oh Arjuna, from where you have got all these influenced by these dualities of this material world? Kutastvam Kashmalamidam. You are a great Arya. Your Arya means Prabhupada gives word to word meaning. Like modern day there is a great controversy. They say Arya came from the Europe and then they drove the Dravids down and all these things. But this is a concocted history. Arya doesn't mean from any geographical part of the world. Not from Germany or North India or South India or Europe or China. Prabhupada gives very simple definition. He says Arya means one who knows the higher purpose of life. He may be from Africa, Antarctica, Siberia, anywhere. Or any man who knows the higher purpose of life is Arya, and who doesn't know from any part of the world is Anarya. So Lord Krishna is astonished seeing Arjuna's Anarya behavior being influenced by material dualities. He says this is not for Aryas. Aryas are beyond these material dualities of birth, death, pleasure, pain and things like that. So he says from where? Give up. Klaibam ma. You just give up all these wrong compassion. Your impotent behavior, not impotent, but impotent behavior. just give up. And then, after this is the reaction of Krishna, which is astonishing. He was astonished or wonder. He was wondering at the wrong behavior of Arjun. But then, when he starts speaking, we see he just speaks what is in the first, what is described in his first 2-3 verses. If we see, they are the same. Krishna is first telling Arjuna, Ashochyanan Vashochastvam Pradnyavadansha Bhashase Gatasuna Agatasunscha Nanu Sochanti Pandita. He is telling one who is Pandit, he just tolerates. He is not moved by those who are born or those who are dead. Like Jesus Christ, he said something. Let the dead bury the dead and you move on. Or my words may be, but that was his essence of teaching. He was telling that just don't be influenced by these dualities of birth, old age, disease and death. And then Krishna goes on telling these first verses. He says, why? Because we have to tolerate this. But sometimes material people, they tolerate sometimes material troubles for some material gains, like success in business or some politics of a country or some things, they tolerate material pains a lot. But this type of tapasya will not last long. And being in a mode of passion, in the end it will result again in pain. This type of tolerance. Like we see, so many people, they tolerated for their country in the way of politics. But in the end, mohasha, moh karmanu. For example, Srila Prabhupada says, Mahatma Gandhi, he wanted unity of India and he gave sacrifice all his life for that. But in the end, he has to see that his whole country was divided into two. Like that, we see many people, because they were tolerate, they do undergo great tapasya for material things. In the end, their aims are frustrated and their austerity also doesn't last long. But to learn this tolerance or indifference to the material dualities, the basis Krishna first tells, Ashochyanan Vasochastvam Pradnyavadansa Bhashase Gatasuna Agatasunscha Nanu Sochanti Pandita, that you are a Pandit, you are intelligent, don't be bewildered by those who are born or those who are yet to be born or those who are dead or things like that. Then what is the basis? How can we tolerate if not for some material gains, which is temporary, which is in mode of passion, tapasya in mode of passion? Then we have to tolerate on the basis of body and soul. Krishna immediately tells these two verses. He begins by telling, Natve vaham jatu nasam, natvam neme janadhipa, na chaiva na bhavishyama, sarve vayamata param. He says, never was there a time that you did not exist. We all know these translations. And then what exists? Krishna tells, Dehino asmi yatha dehe. So first he told you to tolerate. But your tolerance should be developed, because tolerate in the mind. Mind has to learn the tolerance. Mind has desires and mind has to learn to tolerate, to not always try to fulfill the material desires. So for that, the basis is not some material gain. The basis is not some peace of mind or something in material. It's anything with material world. Anything with the gross body or subtle body is not the basis for tolerance. It can't live long. But then what is the basis? Dehino asmin yatha dehe kaumaram yavanam jara tatha dehantara praptir dhiras tatrana muhyati. That you have to understand that you are not these bodies but the spirit souls, and the bodies are temporary. For he says in the these first 20 verses, he says all these things. Those who are wise, they say that for the existence there is no destruction, and for the non-existence there is no permanent existence, or like na sato vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate sata. So in a similar way, Krishna is now beginning to tell that the basis of our tolerance should be the knowledge that we are not the bodies but the spirit souls. And after telling these two verses of body soul, natve vaham and dehi no asmin, again two verses is telling of tolerance, which is the beginning of Lord Rishabhdev's activities description. What he says in the text 14, which Srila Prabhupada has quoted in this purport, what he is saying, Matras parshastu konteya sitoshna sukha dukkhada. One should learn to tolerate this heat, cold, and sukha dukkha, because they come and go and they are not permanent. Anitya. Tansi titikshva Bharata. And then, what is the result of one who tolerates? Text 15, Krishna tells, Yamhina vethayante te purusham purusharasabha sukha dukha sukham dhiram so amrutatvaya kalpate. One who can tolerate, one who is not disturbed, vethayante te, vethit nahi hota. Vethit is a Sanskrit or Hindi term. One who is not disturbed by this purusham, oh Arjuna, sama dukha sukham dhiram. One is not disturbed by this sukha dukha, heat, cold. What is the result he will get? Sa amrutatvaya kalpate. He will get liberated. He will be free from this material bondage. So, the same point, the beginning teachings of Bhagavad Gita, mixed with the teaching of body and soul, and tolerating the various manifestations of this material nature in our individual life, is same qualities are exhibited in this Lord Rishabhdev's behavior, how he gave up his kingdom, how he tolerated all the bodily troubles from the point of view of somebody throwing stool, urine, dust on him, or passing foul air in front of him, or giving bad names, and things like that. All these descriptions are given here. So the basic point with both, these are like the beginnings, ABCDs of spiritual life which Krishna gave to Arjuna and Lord Rishabhdev is telling us, is to be completely indifferent to the material world and material activities and all the material manifestations and influences and incidences in our life, and to just for the beginners it is just to tolerate the material influences. For those who are advanced in spiritual life, they don't have to tolerate because they are already beyond it. These things doesn't affect them at all. Therefore, they don't need, they're just like Rishabhdev. He is not tolerating in one sense, as it is told here in this middle paragraph. His body is already spiritual, and these influences are therefore not influencing him in any way. So, for him, there is no need to tolerate because he is not being affected by these things. He is not being affected if somebody throws dust on him, or somebody gives him bad name, or somebody troubles him in so many varieties. For us, for beginners, sadhak bhaktas, this is the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. Those who are affected, they have to learn to tolerate on the basis of the knowledge that we are not these bodies, but the spirit souls. And this tolerance, just like Radha Gopinath Prabhu says, the renunciation is lack of opportunity. Similarly, this tolerance should be there when we have the scope of not tolerating it. Just like if somebody insults us, they say, okay, I tolerate because I cannot do anything anyway against him. It's not exactly what is tolerance. Tolerance is just like Maharaj Parikshit, when that verse describes Maharaj Parikshit when he was cursed by Shami. What was his name? Shami. Shungi. When this Shungi cursed, Maharaj Parikshit's activities had been described as Titikshoka Karunika. No, what is that verse again? Yes? No. Yad Bhakta Prabhava Api. The point is, Maharaj Parikshit, Yad Bhakta Prabhava Api. That Maharaj Parikshit was powerful enough to counter curse Shungi and be effect from his own curse. It was not that Maharaj Parikshit was weak and therefore he said, I tolerate it. Okay, he has cursed me, very nice, I tolerate it. No, he was very powerful to counter curse and give curse against. But he said, no, it's the will of Lord, let me tolerate it. So therefore, one has to understand that this tolerance should also be exhibited, not only when we cannot do anything against it, but also when we have the capacity to remedy the situation. When you have the capacity to act against, but still at the same time we have to learn to tolerate these material indifferences. Actually, if we observe all the material enjoyments and pains and pleasures are only on the mental level. They have nothing to do with the mind, nothing to do with the body, only in the mind. Up till this mind actually the moment we understand the soul is completely different from the body, we become indifferent to body. Just like when something is lying on the street, some newspaper or some wood or some plastic, something, because we are indifferent to it, anything happens to it, somebody walks on it, somebody steps on it, some vehicle passes on it. When we are indifferent to anything in this world, then we don't care. It doesn't affect us. But suppose it's maybe my thing lying or something happens. When we are attached, similarly we get attached to this material body. The soul is a subtle attachment, but soul get attached. Oh, this is my body. And then if anything happens to this body, either gross or subtle. Gross means some physical injury, or subtle means some insult. When anything happens, because that attachment is there, then we feel, oh, this is my body. So we feel the pain and pleasure. This attachment is this. Our soul is very tightly stuck with the gross and subtle body, although it is separate. The sticking element, we can say, gluing element is like Fevicol. Fevikwik or something. Once it is, and this, what is that Fevikwik which sticks us to this material body? Is the mind and the ego. With the medium of mind and ego, actually, we see this all enjoyments are in the mind. It's not, we see some good food to eat. First the mind desires to enjoy, and then the senses enjoy. First the mind desires, oh, I want to enjoy good food, or good sleep, or mating, or something like that. When first the mind desires that I want to enjoy a particular thing in a particular way, and mind contemplates, and then only the senses enjoy. If the mind is not in the enjoying mood, the senses never enjoy. Like when we are sick, the mind is not in the enjoying mood. So still we get distaste for the food. When the mind is not enjoying, the senses have no inclination to enjoy. But when the mind, and in a similar way, the things which are repulsive in this material world, since birth we have created these images in our mind. Oh, this type of food is bad, and this type of clothes I don't like. Or they may be coming from our past life, but the images are first created in the mind. This is actually is the same fabric, either blue fabric or red fabric or green fabric. But the mind first says, I like green fabric or red fabric, and then the body likes to wear such clothes. Or mind first says, I like Chinese or Indian or South Indian or North Indian and things. When the mind first imagines enjoyment, and then the senses enjoy. Basically, is the same material elements passing on our tongue and going down, and is the same elements doing in the various ways. The point is, first, it's very easy. First, the mind makes all the enjoyment plans, and then the senses follow it. If the mind first says, I don't like something, the senses are detached. And if mind says, I want to enjoy something, then nothing can be done. The senses will follow it. In a similar way, therefore, this mind has to be trained. The first thing is to be give up or to be free from this material world, as we are hearing here, to know that I am the soul, I am not the body, I am completely separate from this body. But this thing or this liberation, just knowing that we are not the body but the soul, is also not a full knowledge. Is also not full development of knowledge. It may also last a much, much longer, but it may not last fully, because it's just like mayadi liberation. We just know, I am not the body, but I am soul. But what I am, what I am doing, that we don't know. So therefore, in the future, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Shri Krishna says, a Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma na shochati na kangshati sama sarveshu bhuteshu mada bhaktim labhate param. That after knowing that I am not the body and situated in the Brahman, a person has to go ahead to the level of mada bhaktim labhate param. When one reaches, and just like that description of devotional creeper is there in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It goes from earth to the heaven, to the Janna Lok. Then it breaks the covering of the Brahmand. So that devotional creeper is perfectly solidified and in a stable state only when that creeper reaches and the clings to the two lotus feet of Lord Shri Krishna. Up till that time, the creeper can just be blown off, just like we see if you have seen in the fields or in your garden, if there is some creeper of a flower or vegetable, it just shoots off various tentacles which are spring-like things and they just move here and there up till they get some solid support. Once the creeper gets solid support, then it becomes very strong. Similarly, this creeper of devotional service, it can just move on here and there, going like this. Oh, Janalok, very nice. Just it can branch off over there. Or going up, oh, Satyalok, Brahmat, 3 million years of life. Very good. Let's go off over there. Or even go ahead, Mukti, that is also attractive. So, this creeper may not become permanently strong or lasting long for his whole life or eternity. It will happen only when the creeper reaches the two lotus feet of Lord Shri Krishna and then very tightly clings onto it. Therefore, this renunciation is one part of spiritual life which is very important. But another part of spiritual life which is equally important is attachment to Krishna. Otherwise, the spiritual life is half. As good as it is important to give up material desires, equally good or equally important or more important, not equally actually more important is to get attached to Krishna. In fact, the attachment to Krishna will help us to get detached from material life. Otherwise, it is very difficult. Just like we know sometimes those who have babies or who have seen the activities of babies, they have seen sometimes a small baby is just few months old, 5 months, 8 months, or sometimes even grown-up children, a year or two. Those who don't know the seriousness of some things, they may grab, suppose a baby of 8 months, grab a 500 rupees note from his father's pocket. Some other he just takes it out. And he's just having, you know, great anxiety. He's holding very tightly. If you pull, it may get torn. Or he may cry. And so many problems are there. But he has the 500 rupees note. So what we may do? Sometimes we may take out our key and ding, 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 ding. So see, this is very attractive. Take this key. So the baby, he has 500 rupees note. And he actually doesn't keep the 500 rupees note off. What he does, he just catches the key. And the process of catching the key, the note falls off. He's not thinking, oh, let me give this note, keep it down or keep it in the pocket. He doesn't care what happens to the note. He's just caring for the key or some pen or some chocolate. And in the process of just simultaneously, just automatically, the note falls off. Now similarly, when we get attached to Krishna, then automatically, simultaneously, our material attachments, they just fall off. Just like this 500 rupees note may fall off from the baby's hand. So similarly, in the spiritual life, it's very important to follow these beginning instructions of Lord Shri Krishna, they are instructions of Krishna, to tolerate the material influences, to practice it. But it is also and very, very important to develop our love for God, Krishna. The first step to tolerate material influences is to know I am not the body but the soul. But further step, why to tolerate these material influences? Is to know that Krishna is the ultimate controller and doer. Like Rakhe Krishna Mare Ke, Mare Krishna Rakhe Ke. If one knows, like we know this story of Ambarish Maharaj. He was completely meditating on Lord Shri Krishna. And therefore this Durvas Muni, he threw his hair down and some big demon came and he was going to attack Ambarish Maharaj and certainly the aim was to kill him maybe. But Ambarish Maharaj did not even budge an inch back. He was very cool and he was not even fearful, what to speak of moving back. He was completely peaceful, completely happy remembering Krishna. He did not even express a sign of fear or did not move, just like seeing some big fiery demon, he did not move back to protect himself or did not call for his army, come on, just attack this demon. He was completely Krishna consciousness, knowing the fact that Rakhe Krishna, Mare Krishna, Rakhe Ke. If Krishna has decided to kill me through this demon, what my army can do? And if I am not going to be killed through this demon, why my army is required? Either way. So he was completely Krishna conscious. On the other hand, when that Sudarshan Chakra came, we see Durvas Muni, he ran all over the world for 1 year. just to protect himself from the Sudarshan Chakra. So therefore we see the initial step is there, the second stage is to know, as it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, what is the cause of fear? Bhayam dvitiya abhivineshata syat ishad api achetasa, some one word I am missing, that we, for the cause of fear is that we think something is out of control of Krishna. We think that something is out of control of Krishna. Krishna is not, Lord Shri Krishna is not controlling this. Just like sometimes we may visit some factory and there may be some big fire. We can say within this temperature, within this vessel, the temperatures are 800 degrees Celsius and this acid is 99% sulfuric acid, or all these things, or this is very poisonous chemical over here. But we are not actually fearful. You say, oh, so much. But because we are not fearful, because we know everything is being under control. But the moment if this siren comes and they say there is some leakage or something is happening, then immediately the same chemicals are there, but immediately we come fearful because now it is not under control. Now the things are gone out of control and we just try to run off, or a safety wall or something like that. Like if we are sitting in any vehicle, car or train or plane, up till we are convinced that the situation is under control, driver, vehicle is under control, like some brahmacharis were coming back from Pune 2 years back in our bus, and till the vehicle was in control, all were very jolly and some were sleeping and some were joking and they were very easy. But the moment we understood that the vehicle is now out of control of driver, then all were in anxiety, then everyone started chanting or do this, go left, go. Up till that time, no one was telling the driver where to go. The driver was driving under control. But when the driver gave up, they said, control gone. They said, hey, left me low, hey, right me low. So I said, Hare Krishna. So everyone was in full confusion because it just went out of control. Similarly, fear in this material world is when we think this material world has gone out of control of Krishna, which never happens actually. Which never happens. Krishna is always, Krishna says, Maya Dakshena Prakruti Suyate Sa Characharam. This material world, with every minutest detail, as we say, not even a blade of grass can move without the sanction of Sri Krishna. The real cause of fear, a real cause of intolerance, is when we think Krishna is not in control. Maybe this part Krishna is not in control. Or we forget that Krishna is in control at the moment of test, and therefore it causes all the fear. If we know, yes, Krishna is in control, things are in control, actually Krishna is in full control and his desires are going to take place, whether we use all our energies and technologies, still Krishna's desire is going to take place, and whether we don't use it, still Krishna's desire is going to take place. So initially we may have to learn this art of tolerance on the level of body and soul, but further it goes that soul is a part parcel of Krishna, completely under Krishna's control. And in this way, and as I said, the example of the child, when the soul is completely Krishna conscious, he doesn't have to endeavor for this tolerance. Because he becomes completely indifferent to material body. He is completely indifferent. Whatever happened, he doesn't care. He doesn't have to endure this tolerance. Oh, let me tolerate heat. It doesn't influence. Like sometimes, we may be very engrossed in some computer games or something, and sometimes while doing, our hand may get hurt. But because we are so engrossed in some other activity, we don't realize it till we get out of that activity. Then we say, oh, something is paining. Then we say, what happened? Oh, some blood is also coming. And then, oh, this, I got hurt. In a similar way, when we are completely engrossed in Krishna, this material influences either pains or pleasures. They are completely indifferent. We are become indifferent to them. And in that way, the soul can be really thoroughly happy and satisfied. And such a person is liberated and fit for going back to a spiritual world. Hare Krishna. So we see Lord Rishabhdev will also exhibit such activities in the future. Next chapter is itself titled The Activities of Lord Rishabhdev. It's quite late and I don't want to make you tolerate some more your hunger. So anyway, we'll close off. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.